baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. And now I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goes, our ace co-host. What's up, Goes?
What's up? I'm excited today because we got a big main event to talk about and a lot of good news nuggets. They're scattered. They're all across the MMA universe from different parts, but it's fun. They're fun topics.
I would agree. I think we're going to jump around on a lot of different topics, and a lot of them are definitely newsworthy. So that'll be fun. We will preview UFC on ESPN Plus 16. Of course, we got people out in Vancouver, so keep it locked on MMA Junkie from here through Fight Night, which is Saturday, September 14th. Because, again, we're always on the scene. Just like we were representing Strong in Abu Dhabi, we'll do the same thing out in Vancouver. And we can't forget our boys on the West Coast, we also covered Bellator 226. Mm-hmm. So shout out to the whole team. Just really, really good content being put out on the daily. And don't forget, folks, we have a fabulous app for the tablets and the smartphones. And that is probably one of the best and quickest ways that you can always stay on top of it. Look, it's nice to come home and pour yourself a glass of wine and just go to the desktop if you still have one. And, you know, scroll through that, listen to the MMA Junkie Radio podcast. I get that. But, you know, when you have that 15-minute break at work, I'm telling you, you can just catch up because these guys and gals are always producing work at a constant rate. I'm amazed at what at the machine that we've become. So, with that said, we do plan on talking about, of course, McGregor. It took him a while, but he did respond. He kind of chimed in, angling a little bit towards Dustin Poirier, who kind of actually reached out to McGregor first. And then, of course, how about Ali Abdelaziz, one of the top managers in the game? He's saying that GSP is next for Khabib. I don't think that went over too well, by the way, because any poll you see has Tony Ferguson there. But, of course, that's Ali's job, is to stir the pot. Logan Paul versus Dylan Danis. Scott Coker serious, Goes. Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier. Something might go down at ATT. We're going to cover all that. Buckle up, folks. Here we go. All you Junkie fans, listen up. If you're looking for a sports podcast that's outside the box, where the topics are trending and all of the people speak their minds, listen to our brothers and sister over at For the Win Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and popular apps.
And to catch up with the latest news in golf, check out the Forward Press podcast by Golf Week.
As a matter of fact, to see all the USA Today Network podcasts, including podcasts from NFL and NBA, go to podcast.usatoday.com. All right, literally, where do you want to start? Pick one. Pick a news topic. I'm ready to go, and you know they all excite me, I guess, in their own little way, and that's the beauty of MMA.
I want to start with Conor McGregor. Okay. Surprise, surprise.
So Poirier says that now's about a good time for them to run it back, and of course, McGregor kind of steals a line that Cejudo's been, you know, bend the knee and kind of like kiss the hand, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But basically, he's like, what he was implying was, you're not calling the shot. That's what they all basically are saying, is like, I'm the A side, you're the B side, I decide when. Now, McGregor has one thing going, and that's that he beat Dustin Poirier. It was like 5 years ago, but he did beat him. But McGregor, although he's been gone, he's not in that circle, and I don't think Dustin Poirier is out of line. What's Dustin Poirier supposed to do? Just sit there and not say nothing and hope McGregor picks him? I mean, these other guys, they're growing in stature, and so they're feeling like, well, no, listen, man, you know, I have a say in this.
He's not out of line, not at all. I thought that was actually brilliant of him to do. What I'm finding interesting is the reaction from other fighters to Conor McGregor, because Conor McGregor used to be able to tweet something and it would just create chaos. And this past card, I think a lot of people just kind of went, yeah, whatever, that's Conor being, like, he's kind of being shuffled to the side now because, you know, Ben Askren came at him and told him, dude, Justin, you don't want to fight forever. Justin Gaethje, yeah. Same thing. And it's true. If you look at the media, if you look at the fans, what we're covering right now is more like Habib. Habib is not just a big star outside of the U.S. Now he's starting to become big in the U.S. as well. Look at his Instagram followers, all that. And so I think he's losing a little bit of clout. And so when he tries to play that Conor persona on a guy like Dustin Poirier, I think now fans are smart enough. And I think he's just kind of lost a little bit of credibility where people look at what he says and go and say, well, that doesn't make much sense. That didn't used to happen. We used to laugh our ass off at things he would say.
Right.
But now it doesn't make, like Nate Diaz, his biggest, you know, Batman and the Joker. Nate even kind of says, yeah, whatever, dude. And just he's focusing on Jorge Masvidal. He's kind of getting pushed off to the side. And I'm curious to see what Conor McGregor has to do to churn this around. I thought Dustin Poirier is a great guy to start with because you're right. He beat him. What more do you want?
And he doesn't have to worry about the takedown and the wrestling. And I'll agree and slightly disagree on one thing you said. When you mentioned the word clout, I think he's got clout in the game. Because mm-hmm. if Conor McGregor, if he were to go to either Diaz or Masvidal right now, well, not him, but him and Dana, and say, hey, listen, Conor wants to fight. He's already signed the bout agreement. We're going to rip up this contract, and you're fighting. And guess what? Your pay is probably going to be better. Diaz's pay versus McGregor is going to be better than his pay versus Masvidal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Diaz and both Masvidal go, oh, yeah, I'm in, right? So mm-hmm. that clout, I think, still exists. What doesn't exist, though, is the clout of what his words are. And the reason is because he's kind of becoming a little bit of the kid that cried wolf. Is that the one that would always,
yeah,
you know, basically a liar, you know? And so, yeah, you know, I'm down to fight. And now I know that there's an injury out there that at least he clarified, you know, recently on the ESPN interview. But before that, it's like he was just down to fight everyone. He was down to fight everyone on this day. And so that, I think, was one where you looked at that. You actually knew that tweet was coming. And then when you read it, you kind of giggled or it ruffled your feathers. And then after that, you kind of shrugged and said, yeah, wait, let's wait till next week's. You know what I mean? But it didn't seem to carry any weight. Now, of course, we know, okay, the hand injury's there. He can start gripping soon. He can definitely throw a punch. So now you're thinking a little bit more serious of, like, what might or might not happen. But, yeah, those little games of what he says, whether it's bend the knee, kiss the hand, or I'm the guy, A-side, nobody's buying into that anymore.
There's a lot of memes out there now that kind of just show the bigger players talking, and they put Conor in the corner, kind of like nobody really cares anymore. He needs to be careful. He needs to actually go out and do something now. And I thought Dustin Poirier presented the perfect scenario for him to come back and do something there. Because remember, he's only one fight away at any time. And hell, there's even scenarios where Dana White, as crazy as it sounds, he could still be the guy. You never know. But I feel like he's only one fight away from doing whatever the hell he wants.
I still remember back in the day when Woodley and Weidman and some of those guys were champ. They loved being on a McGregor card or a Ronda Rousey card because they knew some of that pay-per-view would trickle down to them. You know what I mean? So I could see a lot of the champions always cozying up. But see, both of them are gone, and neither one is a champ. And so now it's like, yeah, I do want to fight you because I know they're going to pay me more, but you're just not around, so we're just going to continue, you know, going and doing our thing. And back to Askren just, I like the way how he's cut and dry, you know. Dude, mm-hmm. you don't want Khabib again. He's just going to smash you, you know, and he'll just end a sentence, you know, and then he just gets to whatever else he wants to say. And how about Gaethje, dude, attacking him and kind of saying stuff that, you know, if Conor reads it,
yeah,
Conor may be like, can you fucking believe this guy? He may say what he wants. But when everyone goes away and he goes to the restroom, takes a leak, washes his hands, and then stares at the mirror, he's probably thinking, man, that Gaethje cut deep. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
As a father and as a husband, because, you know, you're probably thinking, you know, homeboy ain't wrong. I've been a jackass as of late, and I do have a responsibility here. okay, let me collect my breath here, you know, because I could see him being infuriated at what Gaethje did.
I absolutely agree. And I think it's not just the comments. It's really his behavior outside of the cage. The one thing you never want to show in those type of Twitter beefs or anything is that anything's getting to you, right? But look at what he's been doing outside the cage. If an older gentleman doesn't want to drink your whiskey and that gets under your skin enough where you want to punch him, can you imagine what these comments are doing to him? He's got to be throwing things around the house. He's got to be kicking dogs. I don't know what, man, but he's got to be going crazy.
That's what Askren said to the end was stop hitting old man. Right?
But see that, okay, but what he ended that tweet with, do you have the tweet in front of you by any chance?
I'll find it real
quick. What he ended it with, that's what makes Ben Askren brilliant, because he takes his shots and then he kind of tells him, now write a ridiculous response or something like that. And that's when, that's brilliant when it comes to trash talk. Because basically you're telling the other guy, whatever you come back with, I kind of told you to do that. You know, I'm your dad. I told you to do that. And that's what I find is so creative about Ben Askren and so smart when it comes to head games.
Looks like there's a little update.
I like that ending.
Looks like there's a little update on that. Okay, I'm trying to find that original tweet. But I think it had to do something with don't beat up old men. But I'm just looking right now as I was trying to clarify what it was. There's something from McGregor to Ben Askren. He says, why so serious?
Mm-hmm.
Ben, you read that?
That's where it started.
Oh, that's where it started. Yeah. Okay. Ben Askren says.
Oh, okay. After what he said.
Right. Yeah. Then Ben Askren says, let's be serious. At Notorious MMA, made too much money to ever have the desire to train at the world champ level. He ain't getting younger. Those times are done. The glory days are hot air now. Okay, yeah. I did see that one. Why so serious? I didn't see that little reply from Conor McGregor. But at the end, I remember what you were telling me, and that was, well, he did say, only glory days and hot air now. That's how he ended that one, if that's what you were asking. And then the other one he ended with, stop hitting old men, is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So two, three different people coming at Conor McGregor and just showing McGregor, listen, we all know you can sell millions. We all would love to be on the other side of you, but you just kind of haven't done this a lot lately, so why am I going to sit here and hope that you pick me? My life moves along, and there's big fights to be made. Nate Diaz just made that big fight with Jorge Masvidal. I think Poirier needs to maybe decompress a little bit, maybe give it about another month before even thinking about another matchup.
For sure.
And then as far as Ben Askren, well, the only concern I have is the KO, but that's his only KO ever, if I'm not mistaken. He doesn't really get hit much, so I'm pretty sure he's going to be ready to go at some point soon, and I guess it's Singapore, if I'm not mistaken, for him versus Damian Maia, so he should be safe there. No disrespect to Maia, but that's going to be more of a ground tussle.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so moving on from all that, let's now zero in on ATT. Masvidal, Covington, they both went on at the Ariel Helwani show on ESPN, and for anybody that's thinking, they're just fooling about. They write the script, and then they go out there and play their role. Doesn't look like it to me. It looks like that the friendship is pretty much done. And if not, then it's been very, very well executed. Because, again, these guys were roommates for a few years. You see, like, them just tussling around on weekends, whether it was just going out and having fun in the 305 in Miami or being, you know, just great teammates that are helping each other, you know, and they both addressed that the last few years. Kobe helping me with my wrestling. Masvidal helping me with my striking. Just being really, really good homies. But it seems like the business, the more money that's made goes, I think everybody realizes, okay, I got to take care of me and my peeps. And so this thing is starting to really, really boil over. And, of course, Dustin Poirier, he addressed, yeah, I think he was mad that Covington took Khabib. Poirier, when asked a little bit about, you know, that whole little drama, he said, you know, I don't sell out. Jorge's my guy. If anything, I'd help Jorge train for that fight, you know, going back to Florida or whatever. And so he's just more of a straight shooter, loyal guy. But now they've been firing back at each other to the point where they're saying, now when we see each other, Masvidal told him, if I see you, let's talk like men. It looks like he's ready to talk and at least figure it out like men, without the actual threat of violence. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Poirier, he's making it sound more like, when I see you, something's going down.
Yeah.
And that gym goes, by the way, hasn't it been pretty harmonious? I know there was something, I think, between Woodley and some other fighter a few years ago. That some stuff was being thrown around. But for the most part, I know there was, you know, Woodley and Lawler and Lombard. When all those welterweights were at their peak, Alves or whatever, you know, a few of them were just, like, disliking each other, threatening to say stuff about each other. But for the most part, that gym, everybody kind of gets along under the umbrella of one Dan Lambert, who's very likable in the sport.
That gym runs a little differently because there's so many pro athletes there that I think they have multiple pro practices throughout the day. So when you look at the umbrella of who's under there, there's been times where we've spoken to fighters and they say, yeah, I mean, he's there, but I've never trained with him. You know, I do my own thing over here, or I come in the afternoons, he comes in the morning. And it seems like Dan Lambert, for now, anytime we've ever talked to him, he seems like a very intelligent guy. And I would imagine that going forward, he's going to probably figure out a way so that these guys don't really cross paths, or that if they do, he'll be prepared for something like that.
If he already hasn't told them, listen, next time you're in this gym, come to my office. Mm-hmm. Because we definitely can't have that. Yeah. And I can mediate. Well, we'll figure it out. So I really don't see a brawl ensuing. But you never know, man, because Covington's pissing so many people off that it seems like he really has to look over his shoulder. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. he might have to train at 2 a.m.
But he's not dumb, right? Like, I mean, we've talked to Colby many times. He's not stupid. So when you say, or this could be something that's perfectly executed, I will say this. I know both of those guys, and both of those guys do not get credit for just how smart they are. They're very, very smart. So could it be executed perfectly? Yeah, possibly. But you're right. It's starting to get closer and closer to that realm where you're like, man, this is going too far.
I agree. I mean, it'll remain to be seen. I definitely don't want anything to happen. Like I said, I think they're all pretty solid guys who have punched that clock for over 10 years. In Masvidal's case, over 15 years. And they just, I think they're above that. You know what I mean? They're all in good places. I'm sure they're all homeowners and have bank accounts and starting families or have families. I just don't think that any of them need to go and do it. Now, Covington, his reply was there might be a brawl at ATT next time I'm there. But I know Poirier was saying something's going to go down the next time I see you. So pretty serious stuff there between all those guys. Now, I wanted to talk about, again, we're going to do the tap dance and jump around a little bit here. How about Ali Abdelaziz, super manager to a lot of the big names in the sport, like Henry Cejudo and Kamaru Usman, Kelvin Gastelum. But his big client, of course, is Khabib Nurmagomedov, who's coming off that big win and goes 99% of the planet wants to see him in versus Tony Ferguson. 1% is Ali Abdelaziz, who probably still wants to see it, but I think he'd rather push his client towards GSP. Mm-hmm. However, I think I can read through this. I think he's basically just telling Dana, hey, man, we got options. Now, I don't think he wants to renegotiate again, but I do think the sport may go in that direction, almost like boxing. When you box, the next match, you have to renegotiate again, you know, and again. It's no longer this contract thing, and I could see some of the managers maybe pushing in that direction. We heard that Khabib just signed a new contract, but whatever. Khabib keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, so it could just be like maybe this is just a negotiation tool or whatever.
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit is putting pressure on Tony Ferguson, because for as much as we all want Tony to get this fight, Tony hasn't been the easiest guy to deal with. His track record hasn't been that great as well. So maybe it's a little bit putting pressure on him, letting him know, hey, man, sign the damn thing. Let's get this all done. And at the same time, Ali's job is to make money and make his client money and build his legacy. And a win over GSP definitely helps in that legacy department. And it's definitely going to make a lot of money. So I think those type of comments are great to just kind of put out there and get that feel here. See what the fans say, how people react. See if you can get GSP to come out and say something. So I don't blame him one bit for doing that, but
setting up the future match, right? He may be accepting that we all know Ferguson's next. I'm going to fuck around here with TMZ, mm-hmm. but basically set the table. And you know what, guys? What it really is, this is just telling that message. I think is just for Conor McGregor.
Yeah, it could honestly be too.
It's just him saying, "Hey, Conor,
Sports if, not hurting
if,
without
if
you.
If you do want to circle back, now you're behind Tony and GSP before we even think about you.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet you that's what it is, because we've heard it from Ali on our show that this thing is not done, and there was always like this feeling like it could go down at any minute. And now Habib has openly said someone's going to jail, remember?
Yeah.
And, of course, we know how Conor gets down. You know, he flies across the Atlantic Ocean with a bunch of Irish goons, and they're willing to throw dollies and you know, street brawl, you know, in the arena there in Brooklyn. So, you know, he's willing to do it somewhere else. So that thing's going to get ugly. I really hope it doesn't. I think they all made a ton of money, and I hope they can just, you know, always be professionals. But that thing is getting a little scary when I think about what might happen. But I think this was basically a message for Conor McGregor. Now, we are going to focus on the upcoming fight, but just a couple more things I wanted to touch on that are very, very fun to talk about. This one I know is going to get an eye roll from the real serious hardcore MMA fighters. The ones that want to talk about X's and O's and ranked fighters and GOAT talk. But, man, I don't know. I guess I geek out from time to time and I like this stuff. How about Scott Coker saying he would promote Logan Paul versus Dylan Danis?
It's insane. I mean, off the heels of hearing Dana White saying he would entertain Tom Cruise and Justin Bieber, man, I'm a hardcore. I don't want to see that. I don't even really know who Logan Paul is. I know that he's big. I know a lot of people pay attention to him.
Stop right there. Do you remember the feeling you had when Ryan Bader and Chuck Congo were walking to the cage last week?
Yeah.
You probably thought, well, that's cool. He's defending the title. Respect for Bader. He's a beast. No mm-hmm. way around that one. Right? Remember that feeling you had? Now, pretend that walking to the cage right now is Logan Paul being followed up by Dylan Danis. Isn't it a different, more excited feel? And mostly because you probably want to see, if Danis gets his ass kicked as much as he talks, he's going to have to face the whole world, including Ben Askren's
tweets. But that's Askren's impossible. Tweets.
But you never know. You're holding out for that. And if Logan impossible. Paul gets smashed, then that's a message to all those celebs that like to think that, hey, man, I train. I got my Hollywood trainer. You know, I'm training mm-hmm. at all these fancy gyms. I could do that. Not just the celebrities, but the other athletes. They're getting a message from a real pro. You know what I mean? But think about those little silly goosebumps that you might have. Don't those sometimes trump the feeling of, well, here comes Bader and Congo?
Sometimes, but not with a guy like Logan Paul and a guy like Dylan Danis. If we walked out here at the Mandalay Bay and we asked 50 people, do you know who Dylan Danis is?
No.
Or do you know who Logan Paul is?
They might know that guy.
Most of them won't know. You might, I think
he's
maybe,
like a
you,
YouTube
maybe you'll get,
isn't he?
Yeah, maybe you'll get 10 that say, I know who Logan Paul is. You're not going to get very many Dylan
Are they
going
to know who Congo and Bader are?
No, but at least that makes sense. You're tuning in to watch a fight. We're MMA junkie. I'm okay. I'm sitting in my chair. The world makes sense. You put these two guys up there, and then they're making money. We had a good interview with Todd Duffy, and what was he talking about? The pay, right? And what fighters actually go through to be able to become a mixed martial artist and to have families, to make it a living. And then you just see somebody come into your sport and make a ton of money, and they don't really care. They're just coming in. They're doing like... That's where the sport gets a little insulting, and I think that type of matchup's just too far for me.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but if it happens, don't get me wrong, I'm tuning in, and I'm probably going to laugh my ass off.
Who do you want to win that fight?
Dylan Danis.
Yeah. So just MMA's hold up strong.
Yeah.
Now, if Danis gets his ass kicked, are you going to be hitting refresh on Ben Askren's Twitter just to see what his reply is?
Oh, yeah, yeah, nonstop.
That would be something else. All right, and then one last thing here before we talk about Cerrone versus Gaethje going down on Saturday, folks. I am really looking forward to that fight. And that fight, I wouldn't say it's got title implications, but because we know Ferguson's next. And then, of course, there's the wild card of McGregor. And then you just never know with Habib, you know, what could be next for him. But we'll just call it that. We'll call it, you know, I guess a title eliminator. I think that's safe. Okay, listen, before we get to that, let's talk about on that same card. How about Uriah Hall saying, if Whitaker gets hurt, I'll step in and fight Israel Adesanya. And how about Gregor Gillespie? Long time, don't ask me about future fights. Who's
don't
next?
Don't even ask me about
don't
the fight
me about
I have
the
now.
Fight I'm fighting. Yeah, all that. Now he's just calling people out. I know for sure he threw out Paul Felder. And I know a lot of people were saying, hey, how about him versus Makhachev, since they're both kind of just out there And then he said even Kevin Lee, I think, would be another guy he's interested in, which shows him, which shows you he does fish a lot and doesn't spend a lot of time on the sport, because Lee has made it pretty clear that he's going up to welterweight. But regardless, I'm just excited that Elias Gillespie's giving a shit about his own career.
Yeah, I like it. I'm totally down with those. I mean, like, I thought one of them, Gregor Gillespie, was huge because he didn't even like to talk about the guy he had in front of him, let alone anybody else. And he finally came out and said, look, I'm starting to understand this. I need to do it. That's fine. I'm down with that. And then I love what Uriah Hall did, because it's a great headline. And it could happen. You never know. And if it does happen, everybody's going to say, well, didn't Uriah call this? Like, just give it to that dude. Like, I love, because those are two guys that have kind of been not, I don't want to say not media friendly, but they kind of just keep their distance. They don't do too much. And it was great to see those two come out of their shell. I'm totally happy.
I just hate that it gets to that point in their career where they've done the walk so many times and they feel like they can do it their style. And look, some people can pull it off, but you got to have either a zero in the L column or a one and a lot of wins and a lot of highlights. And then you can kind of call your own shots. But once you have a couple L's, it what sucks is there's 600 people on the roster and someone else is out there outperforming. Someone else is just the flavor of the month. But good on them to finally step up and figure that out. I lied. We do have one more thing we want to talk about, and then we'll get to Gaethje and Cowboy. Barbosa and Felder. Barbosa's pretty adamant about this appeal, and now he's almost calling it, he's treating it like a robbery, you know? But where do you sit with that? What do you want to do with that? Do you want those two? Do you want them to be the modern-day Spencer Fisher and Sam Stout, and let's get to the trilogy? Or do you want them to go their own separate ways and fight out some fights, and then if their paths cross, then you're in?
I want to see them do it again, and I want to see them do it right away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Felder's saying, let's go five.
How long have we been talking about, well, you know, Connor and Diaz always have that, and doesn't it seem like we're kind of getting further and further away from that ever happening? This has been a good fight two times already. This last one had a little bit of controversy, and I love that Felder kind of threw in that wrinkle of, I'll even do five rounds. Because definitely, like, the proof is in the pudding. You've already seen it. They've had great fights. I would buy tickets for this if this were the main event of a card. I would go because I already know they're going to put on a good fight. And to have it five rounds and know that something's probably going to come out of this where we finally have a decisive winner, I'm totally down for that. I'd say do it right away. It's fresh.
2019?
No. 2020. They need to rest.
I think what's sucking for Barbosa is he has to feel like I think he already spent the money. He beat Felder once before, and I think he probably just thinks, I can do it again. So I think a lot of these fighters know what their show is. They probably already spent, and he may have even thought, for sure, I'm probably getting a bonus because I'm either KOing him or we're getting fight of the night. And I think that's the reality it sits in. It's like, what the fuck just happened? I just traveled to Abu Dhabi. I just had this training camp. I thought I outperformed him that night. Now I'm robbed. I didn't get that second check. We didn't even get a fight of the night bonus.
I'm paying more taxes.
What the fuck? Like, he's literally destroyed probably a hotel room in Abu Dhabi trying to figure out how all this just happened.
Yeah, you go immediately to your coaches and you go, well, I won that fight, right? And they're probably telling you, yeah, yeah. And then you go back, but you go, those are my coaches. Those are my boys. And then you go to social media and you see the way how people had it there. It's got to drive you crazy. So I understand where he's coming from. But it was a close fight. And I would love to see a third one, but I love that wrinkle of five rounds. I almost don't want to see it unless it's five rounds.
Yeah. All right. Now, five rounds is what's going to happen on Saturday if they need to go the whole 25 minutes, because they are the main event of UFC on ESPN Plus 16, Cowboy versus Gaethje, at the Rogers Arena in Vancouver. It's Donald Cerrone versus Justin Gaethje, two of the top lightweights in the world. Here are some odds, by the way. Justin Gaethje, minus 190. Donald Cerrone, plus 165. That's courtesy of Five Dimes. And, of course, if you're in town around Vegas, you know I'm going to give you the Vegas odds, or excuse me, the MGM Resorts odds, because our home base is Mandalay Bay, which is part of MGM Resorts. We're minus 200 and plus 160. So you get a little bit more. Actually, we'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, who do you like? Have you changed your mind at all from what you felt like when this matchup was first made, which my pick right away was Gaethje, but the more I'm thinking about it, I'm Gaethje has to fight a certain way, which he usually does, and that's pressure and go forward. And if he does, I think he can win this. But I don't forget that Cerrone uses some wrestling from time to time, and that when Cerrone's on the ground, his jiu-jitsu is really, really solid. And, of course, he can leg kick you like no one else, so can Gaethje. So I don't know. Plus, he's got, you know, they both have great durability. He's just got a lot more experience than Gaethje does. But anyway, you go ahead. Who do you like?
I like Justin Gaethje. There are very few people on this planet, I think, that can defeat Justin Gaethje. And when they do, they have to fight the perfect fight. And that's his thing, right, is just pressure. And that's the thing that sort of that seems to bother Donald Cerrone at times in his career. So I think Justin Gaethje is going to come forward, and I think he's going to be relentless. And I think that's the type of pace that you need to have that will beat Donald Cerrone. The only thing that kind of stands out in my mind a little bit is just that eye infection that he was talking about. He was saying he's still kind of sensitive to light. He almost thought about pulling out of the fight because of it. I don't know how much that affects him or what. I mean,
that's a training injury.
It was just something that happened during his camp. And so, who knows what those type of things do to you. Not to go back to what Todd Duffy was saying, it was just like little nagging injuries, things like all those things play with your head. And even if it takes away a little bit, if it took away a week out of your camp or whatever, I don't think it did out of Cerrone. So Cerrone's a tough customer, but I think Justin Gaethje wins this fight. And to be honest, George, to me, I think Justin Gaethje has the best style to defeat Khabib.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he gets a win here. Hopefully Khabib and Ferguson fight. And then I'd love to see that.
That's how Gaethje feels. Gaethje was very smart. He's now, since that other fight's done, he's calling out the winner of Khabib versus Tony. He's not even mentioning McGregor's name other than, you know, the tweet rampage he went on. He's not even thinking about the GSP possibility, just saying, I got the winner of that fight. So he's basically saying, I know I got to get past Cowboy, but when those other two fight, if I get past Cowboy, I'm next. And that's the way it should be done. Clean and quick and just focus on the two names and don't even give anyone else any press.
Yeah.
So, all right, so you're going with Gaethje.
I'm going with Gaethje in this one.
So am I. Folks, it goes down on Saturday, ESPN plus 16 at 8 p.m. Eastern. Prelims are on actually, the whole card is on ESPN Plus. The prelims start at 5 p.m. Eastern. Then they go to 8 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget, we have people there on site in Vancouver for that fight card. So definitely keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout this week and weekend. It's going to be an amazing night of fights. On that card as well is Nikita Krylov versus Glover Teixeira. Misha Cirkunov is on the fight card. He's versus Jim Crute. Todd Duffy versus Jeff Hughes. Michael Pereira got a new opponent in Tristan Connolly. And Uriah Hall versus Antonio Carlos Jr. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that one. Shoeface goes, is back, and he's got Uriah Hall. And by the way, is it me or do Brazilian nicknames, are they just the silliest things at times or are they some of the most clever at times?
Both. I think the silliness is what makes them so good. That's what's so
like,
funny
about
Usamar
it.
That's
how Pajares you remember him. Was Toquinho, and that was just like a tree stump. But if you look at him, you go, okay, I get it. He's a tree stump. Mm-hmm. But I've never looked at another human being and go, my God, his face looks like a shoe.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's like leathery, right? Is what
I don't know if
say.
He's leathery or if it's just long like a shoe. I don't know, like a height, like a Converse high top. I don't know what they thought of it, but they do come up with some of the funniest nicknames.
Yeah, I like Shoeface.
Yeah. All right. We are out of here, folks. Thank you again for supporting the new podcast, the new format. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at the Goes. The radio show is still at MMA Junkie Radio, and that counts for Twitter or for Instagram. We do have a Facebook page, so look us up there at MMA Junkie Radio there. And do not forget about the great app that we have that you can download, and you can basically get more of this, not just the show, but the website via tablets and smartphones. So with that, for Goes, I'm George. We are out of here. Go out there and be a champion.